Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How about cooking up something good for me? This is the Russell Price Morning Show, correction, today's relationship show. Talking to you what you got, instead of call it what it's not. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. This morning we're going to take any callers or give scenarios of what you got so we can tell you what you got instead of call it what it's not. Free relationship readings this morning. Rally, you on the air? Go ahead.
Good morning, Russell. Yes, I'm right here.
Fantastic. We're going to give out some what I call relationship readings this morning. Let people know what they got instead of calling what it's not. So we need participation this morning. We need you to call in and let people know what you're going through. If you're going through something or you think you got something, you need to know what you got, because relationships are truly, truly hard. And if it's harder if you don't have the information. Information is the new currency. It's the new power. It's the new everything. With information, you can do or solve anything. Anything if you know how to do it. You can fix anything if you have the proper tools. You can solve anything if you have the proper information. And that's what's happening right now. Information is power. If you don't have the information, then you find yourself in a situation where you're trying to solve something or find out something, and you don't have the information. Number here is 347-637-3051. Call in and let you know what you got instead of calling what it's not. So if you don't have information, if you don't have your information or you don't know what you have, then you need to call in and find out what you got, because going through life now without information is truly, truly hard. It's hard. I mean, it's something that people seem to think they can do it by themselves, but they can't do it by themselves. And without somebody guiding them or somebody letting them know let people know that you are truly finding out what you need is better than. That's why they have therapists, and they have people that go to see their therapist. If they don't have it or they don't get it, then they find themselves lost. But I found out being a police officer and talking to people on relationship issues that a lot of times people think they got one thing, but they got something else. That's why I wrote the book for women, Is He Your Man or Is Your Head in the Sand? It was straight talking, no chasing. It was information that's hard to swallow but good to know. It's information that you need to know. Now, people are scared to talk about relationships. Why are people scared to talk about relationships? Marilyn, what do you think that reason is that people are scared to talk about it?
Well, it just goes back to tradition, and if you look at the family, you know, I know when I was coming up, there are a lot of things, you know, there just wasn't a lot of discussion about relationships, even though, you know, we sat down for breakfast every morning, we had dinner together, and especially on Sunday, people came together, but those just were not the conversations, and it was such an uneasiness. I know when I was coming up, you didn't talk about anything like that. People have since learned that it's important for children to be informed, you know, as early as they can in the appropriate way, so that when they do become adults, because I remember growing up, there was this young lady, she was Caucasian, but she talked about how her parents had talked about her to her about her, you know, all of her body parts, about being in an intimate relationship, and to her, it was just no big deal. But for most people, I think, for anyone listening out there, for most people, I know especially mine, it was just an uneasiness. I mean, you didn't even know your body. You didn't know anything because no one really talked about it or instructed you on it, and it was just left a big area of discomfort. But as I've been saying lately, anything that you're uncomfortable with, when you make that initial move and you do it repeatedly, it becomes the norm. It's like anything else, even, you know, maybe a bad example, but, hey, becoming an alcoholic. I mean, you start out, you take the first drink, you know, it might be uncomfortable. Am I an alcoholic? No. But, again, from working with, in my profession, from working with people, it's like it started with that first drink. They might have been uneasy. They take the second drink, and then they start drinking, you know, becoming familiar until they know the menu. But it happened that way. They were still uncomfortable with that initial one, but because of the repeated activities, it's become the norm. And so it is with communication or, you know, I believe with anything, no matter how uncomfortable you are with it, if you do it repeatedly, especially if you're seeking to grow or seeking to understand, if you continue to seek it out, and especially have someone there to help you, then it's going to become the norm, and then you'll be in a position where you'll be able to encourage others or inform other people. So that's really what it comes down to, first recognizing that there will be a certain level of discomfort. But then you have to think about the future, especially if you have young children. You know, you're embarrassed, you don't want to talk to them, but you have to think about, if I don't talk to my children, I cannot afford not to, because if I don't talk to my daughter, if I don't talk to my son, as we know, someone's going to talk to them. So if you get to them first, something I know for a fact, if you get to them first, they might not obey you 100%, but when they get out there, at least they'll have something to measure it by. So if you're the parent, you're looking out for the good of your child, you've given them some guidelines. Okay, they get out here with their friends. They might stray somewhere along the way, but at some point they're going to go back to what you've told them, even if it's years later, but they're going to eventually come back to that. So that is why it's so important. But that's what the problem, I mean, that's what the problem is, Russell. We don't talk about it.
Yeah, I believe that you're absolutely correct, that we have to talk about it. That's why this show is so important, that we need to find out information as far as relationships concerned. I found out that if you know what you got instead of calling it what it's not, then it won't be as hard on your relationship as some people seem to make it. But we just had recently where the gentleman was a police officer and he killed his wife and killed people because she was trying to leave him or she had a restraining order against him. But you got to know what you got instead of calling it what it's not. It might not be your woman. I wrote two books. One was called Is He Your Man or Is Your Head in the Sand? And the other book was called You Might Not Have a Woman If. And if the woman starts giving you what I call the tea leaves, the signs, she might not be your woman. And women leave you emotionally first, and then they leave you physically. But they give you signs that they are drifting away. And when they leave you, they gone. They don't leave you right away. They don't. Most women can't go cold turkey. They can't just fire somebody today in a relationship. They have to slowly wean themselves away from you. So they start doing things, simple things in the relationship that they didn't do to let you know that they are really getting away from you. And it could be a simple thing about not fixing your lunch or not giving you breakfast, any simple thing. You know, she may say one morning, you fixed your breakfast. And at that point, you may fix your breakfast, but that's a chip away from the love that she used to give you. She used to want to fix breakfast. Now she don't. So it goes on from there where it could escalate where she might say, hey, I'm not going to pick you up from work. Take the subway. I mean, it just gets going and on and on. And then at some point when she walks in the bedroom and say to you, I want a divorce, she's already in the right frame of mind and saying, hey, it's over. It's hard for you to get that woman back at that point where the men don't see it coming. They don't know that they're being fired until it's the day of the relief period where I'm out, and then they try to get back in and they say you knew, I tried to tell you, you didn't listen. That's the words that they throw at you, but they're gone. They normally got somebody new at that point, somebody to replace you, you know, and now they just want a transferal. They want to get rid of you and transfer themselves to somebody else. What do you think of that analogy?
Well, that's absolutely correct, but it goes back to what I was saying. You know, if you're talking and communicating, then a lot of relationships would not end that way. It's a lot of nonverbal, or it's like when you don't want to talk, well, you should have known, or you should have been able to pick up on it, or you should have known, you know, you should have known that's where I was headed, which, you know, in actuality is not real, but that's why we have a lot of the problems that we have. We have to really be able to talk about it. But like I said, Russell, unless we instill that in children when they're young, letting them know the importance of, you know, speaking openly and talking, then those problems continue, because if you haven't been talking and communicating and then you get ready to end the relationship, you know, you're going to be fussing and arguing because you don't know how to communicate. If you have a great relationship and a great understanding, then hopefully it won't come to that where you're headed in that direction. But if it did, I mean, I've heard of relationships where people said, okay, they have agreed to go their separate ways. Have you heard of those type relationships?
Oh, yeah. That's what you
should
do.
If
it's not working and you can't fix it, just make it a mutual separation.
Right.
What is there to argue about? What is there to have a fight about? What is there to want to get upset? What is there to want to hurt somebody? I found out when I was a police officer, it wasn't the fact that the person was leaving or they were separating or they didn't want the person anymore. What they were upset about is they were taking part of their life with them, either some kind of property or a daughter or a son, something that they valued more than the individual. At that point, they were saying they want to fight because they're mad at what that person is taking away from them. They're taking their family away from them, and that made them want to fight or want to hurt somebody because they couldn't bear another man in their house, sitting at their table, eating breakfast with their daughter, with their son, sleeping in the bed that they used to have, and making love, and they couldn't handle all that. It was too much. Most people can't handle their woman, their man, or their woman with another person if it's going to affect them, if they're going to have to move out the mansion, go into an apartment, pay $3,000 a month child support, and et cetera, then they basically don't want that. They say to myself, wait a minute, I don't like this. I basically can't handle that, and that's where it goes south. Caller, you on the air. Today's relationship readings. Go ahead, caller, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. Well, this is Dell.
Dell, how are you, Dell? We're talking about relationship readings this morning, free relationship readings. Give us a scenario of somebody you know or a relationship situation that they're in so I can tell you what they got instead of calling it what it's not. Give me an example of somebody that you know is in a relationship.
In a relationship, give me a good one, a bad one,
bad, whatever you think I want you to give me this scenario of somebody that you know is in a relationship and tell me what they have, and I'm going to tell you what they got.
Well, okay, I know so many different relationships, and some of them, it works for them, and, you know. But anyhow, the one that I find most fascinating is couples that have been married like 40 and 50 years, and the kids are grown and gone, and they have these property and don't want to split up, so they're the best roommates, okay, and it works for them. Rather than going through a divorce, so they do what they want to do. He does what she wants. He and likewise, she does what she wants to do, and they just share the expense of the home and don't have to go through a whole bunch of changes of divorce and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's great because you know, and then they got separate bedrooms. They don't do anything sexually, but when family time or holiday and stuff like that. And kids, it's always home, and they keep the home fires burning for the kids and the grandkids and everything and family get-togethers. But other than that, I think that's great because after a while, we get tired of each other in half.
That's a good scenario, and that does happen in a lot of situations where the relationship is going south. They no longer love each other. The sex is no longer good. The wife finds a lover. The wife finds a lover, someone who knocks her boots off. I mean, makes her head spin and her what they call a wide-eyed rollback. I mean, the man gives her a wide-eyed rollback. And the husband looks like a nobody to her, but she's still in the house.
So she weighs it out. She says, you know what? As long as I got this dude in the right frame of mind where he don't cause no problems, he's not going to come out. He's not going to come to my house. If he see me and my husband walking in the commissary or walking down the street, he's going to walk the other way. And nobody's going to know. And I'm going to tell my husband it's no longer like that sexually. But I'm not going to fire you. I'm not going to divorce you. I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to publicly display to the world that you're no longer my husband or my man. I'm going to let you live the facade. Now, what you need to do as a husband and a person who understands where I'm coming from is don't touch me, don't say anything to me, and I want you to move out the bedroom. The house is big enough where you can go in another room. Now, what you can't do and what I won't do is bring someone to this house. We will keep the house as sacred ground. The house is ground zero. We can't bring nobody to the house. But I'm going to put a phone in my bedroom, and you will put a phone in your bedroom. However, with the new technology today, we all have cell phones. So here's the key. You don't have my password, and I don't have your password. You come home, I don't give a rat's behind when you come home. As long as you come home, you can come home 2 days, 3 days, don't matter to me because the life of the house goes on. On the first of the month, what you have to do is pay these bills, what you've been paying, and I'm going to pay what I've been paying, and you're going to make sure the cars are running good, and you're going to make sure the trash is taken out. But as far as my trash and my trash can, you can't go in my trash can. And I'm not going to your trash can. We are going to live this separate life. But when you see me come home and I'm coming downstairs and I'm whistling in the kitchen, hey, good look at you. I got myself full with a white-eyed throwback. Now, if you ain't singing, God bless you. Marilyn, what do you think of that? I just read that one. I gave you about your relationship reading. But go ahead, Marilyn.
This is a true example of what's going on. I know at least five relationships like that, and it works. They're happy. She's happy. He's happy.
Well, yeah, everybody's happy. Marilyn, what's your take on that?
Well, when you're talking about it happening, like I said, it's reality. It's happening, but for if we have any young people, I would encourage them to try to have a different mindset so that it will not get to that point. Because we've talked about when you get married, I know I heard a caller say that, you know, they've gotten tired of each other and things are no longer good. But one of the things you try to get people to see, or one of the things that I encourage, is when you start that relationship to try to look into the future and realize that things aren't going to always be the way they were. But at the same time, people don't always put in the effort to take the relationship where it could be. I guarantee you that, you know, even from what you described, you know, if they have things that they want to hold on to, then that means they must have a little bit of money or, you know, a fair amount of money. But the point is, I believe that if they had taken a different approach to it, then they might even be more satisfied with each other. But again, a lot of times in relationships, there's a lack of understanding. That full commitment isn't there, or something happens and people just think, you know, they don't think in that way. But I believe if all of that, if they had started out giving 100% to each other and that they thought about it, they went back and, you know, watched their wedding, if they spent that intimate time together and was focused on that, that they could still be happy with each other. Now, again, in every relationship, no, but what I'm hearing is it seems that people are moving in that direction, and that's another thing that tends to happen. I'm sure if there are people listening, someone might be at a crossroads and say, hey, that's a good idea. Someone else might try it, and it might, quote, work for them. But I still think the best approach is if we could start, and don't get me wrong, like I said, I do understand, you know, the human nature, you know, male, female. I understand that, and I know that there's no, quote, one way or perfect way. But I'm just saying, when we're trying to give direction, or especially if there are any young people interested, you know, try to encourage them. So when they get to be that age, or when they've been in a relationship for 30 years, that they're still growing, they realize that there are different phases, and then they focus on each other in a way that they can continue to grow, explore each other until the day they die. So, but again, you know, we are, you know, we're human beings. We all, everyone, listen. We realize that people have choices, and they have a right to make that choice. But I guess when you think about it, you know, the part in getting married and having the family is for eternity. But I will say again that a lot of times we don't know how to make it last forever. So I think that this should be the focus instead of having these different options. It's like, hey, what can we find in each other? You often say many times, Russell, well, what did you see in me in the first place? Or, you know, what did you see in that person in the first place? And where was it lost? But you have to put a lot of work and effort into it, you know?
Excellent point. You're absolutely right. For young people, they don't think that way. They're trying to be married. A young person's trying to be married to death do you part. They're looking for their prince charming. They're looking for the guy on the white horse. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to touch upon some other relationship readings, some more scenarios of what you got instead of calling what's done. We'll be right back. This is Today's Relationships. And Today's Relationships is definitely hard. It's not easy. But you got to realize that relationships ain't going nowhere. So this is what I say. Make sure you know what you got instead of calling what it's not. Because if you don't, you'll find out you're in a situation where you got one thing and you got something else. Some bridges need burning down. Ain't no air in that one.
I agree.
Some bridges need burning down. Sometimes you got to burn the bridge. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. The concept of relationship is supposed to be forever, but forever sometimes don't come. And when it don't come, what do you do when forever don't come? When somebody stops your forever? That is a serious, serious situation where your forever is not stopped by you. It's stopped by your partner. You took the vow forever to death do you part, and your forever is stopped by somebody else. I call it lying at the altar. How many times can a woman or a man lie at the altar? When you stand at the altar before God and say, death do you part, sickness and health, for better or for worse, and then you go to another part of the court and say, I want a divorce. How do you feel about God? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about you? How do you tell your kids, I lied to God? And then you can use the excuse, he was abusive, he beat me, he did this, he did that. Well, you married the joker. You married the woman. The woman cheated on me. They say the only thing the Bible allows for divorce is adultery. But people go beyond adultery for divorce. I don't like them anymore. We don't have the same chemistry. We outgrew each other. How do you outgrow somebody? You either grow with them or you don't grow with them. They can stand still. You can still grow. They can stand still. But you still love them. That's like having a child who's retarded and the child's 3 years old and don't grow past three. And you're going to say, well, I outgrew him. You know, sister outgrew him. Mm-hmm. You still love that child even though they can't go past third grade. Give us a take on that. D, you go first. Go ahead, D.
Well, Vasa, that is a tight one. The point is, how do you outgrow? Is that what, that's the question?
Yeah. How do you outgrow somebody? How do you outgrow a person? They say we outgrew each other. That's one of the reasons people get divorced.
Well, they start exploring things that they have never done before. That's the first thing. And then they like it, you know, and then they come back to that partner and ask them, their spouse, let's do this, let's do this, suggest these things that they like doing and or exploring, to have explored. Why don't we try to do this? And then the partner is non-responsive, doesn't want to participate, don't want to do that. And this is what happens. And then the person says, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And okay, go ahead and do it, you know. And that's how they end up doing, living separate lives like that under the same roof. And I know in my situation, when my marriage, I've been married twice, but my first marriage, that's what happened, because he didn't want to grow. And we were young when we got married, in the 20s, and he didn't want to, you know, both of us were, you know, in our 20s, he didn't want to grow. And of course, I'm curious, and I, you know, wanted to grow and do some things, and I did, but he didn't want to grow, so I left him behind. And then I started liking it, and the next thing I know, shoot, I was gone.
But what about the love? That's what I want to find out. What about the love for the man?
If you say
he don't want to grow, and you growing, right? So you know more than him, and you more experienced, and he say to him, I don't want to grow. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go skiing. I don't want to do nothing but love you.
Couch potato.
Let's give a scenario. Suppose the man says, "Look, I don't want to do nothing. You want to grow. You want to experience new things. What I want to experience is you. I don't want nothing else but you. All I want to do is sit here and look at you. I don't want to experience nothing.
That's what he said.
Why can't you just take him? Why can't the woman say?
Now give him
a big picture
of me, and let him look at the picture while I'm gone.
But why not say to the man, I'm going to take you with me when I'm growing?
He don't want to go.
You ain't growing.
I've been asking. He doesn't want to go.
Then say, look, I'm going to go to Europe for 2 weeks. But you don't want to go. I'm taking my love for you with me. And you can stay here in Landover. And I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks. But while I'm there, I'm going to be loving you and thinking about you, not wanting to go. But what's going to be happy for me is that you still loving me. And I'm going to come back to the love that you got for me.
That ain't the real world. You know,
the real world. Marilyn, give us your take on why people are out there. Can you love a man and he won't grow?
I tell you, I got a good taste of it, and I started loving it. And then they say he was small potatoes to me. I didn't, you know, I started seeing nice.
Well, see, again, I'm sitting here listening.
You had a couple of white-eyed rollbacks, and that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
The white-eyed rollback got you.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, what's the woman get a white-eyed rollback from somebody else?
I had the white one. That white-eyed rollback, you go.
Marilyn, what do you think about a man won't grow? Can y'all grow somebody? I can
appreciate our caller being real, because as I'm listening, that is indeed the way it happens. I guess I always try to take another view. I guess I'm speaking to the young people who are trying to show how things could really go in the direction, especially when you've made that initial commitment. So one of the first things I heard was that, you know, he wanted to explore. And that's why we talk about, or I try to encourage people to sit down and talk about it before you even get married. You know, you have that discussion. These are some of the things I want to do. Can we agree to do it together? And then, you know, go to Europe before you get married, you know, even if you, you know, whatever commitments you make, you know, do some of those things. You know, go mountain climbing before you get married. You know, do some of these things and get a feel for how they are. But I think if you had the conversation, because I think our caller will agree, too, that, you know, a lot of times we assume a lot of things, or we take it for granted. We don't really sit down in our culture and really talk about it and plan it out. And this is the way, you know, what would you like to do? We just don't do that. But I think that would resolve much of it. But when you explore. I guess I had to. Well, and then going back to what you said, Russell, about divorce. Yeah, we talked about that. The Bible says, you know, if your spouse is, you know, cheating on you, yeah, you have a right to get divorced. But again, when you look talk about someone being abused and beaten, you know, sometimes, you know, it's one of those situations. I still don't believe God intends for me to stand there and let this man beat me to death, or anyone believe it. So in that particular case, I would have to say, you know, it's different when you're working toward, but little petty things, you know, you don't just go and get divorced for everything. But if someone's being abused, you know, in those situations, I believe you have to use judgment. You know, you pray about it, but you have to use judgment. But I had to laugh when our caller was saying that, you know, she wanted to grow, but her then husband did not. But I thought about it. I said, now, if he's at home, and if the love is there and he's staying at home, if he's going to work, coming back home, and he's right there, I mean, it might not really be a bad thing. You know where he is. And you don't have to worry about,
you know,
that aspect of, especially if he gives you, see, it's different if you're out there and he's trying to hold you back or he's complaining about you, where are you? But if you have that understanding, it's really not a bad thing. If your man is home and he's always there, if he's participating in other ways. But see, I don't know the details. I'm sure there are many scenarios. But if you have a man who is home right there, and if you believe and you know he loves you and he doesn't want to go here and there, you know, you're right. I think the thing to do would be to still try to convince him every now and then he might go. But if you're going and you're enjoying it, but if your man is home when you get there, you don't have to worry about him running around with other women. I mean, hey, be thankful. That's what I would say.
I was in my 20s. I'm not passing any judgment.
That's why I told you I understand and I can appreciate you keeping it real, because that's what people need to hear too, the real part of it. I just try to show another aspect of, because, you know, everybody, we all make mistakes. Or looking back, if you had known, you probably would have done things a little differently, or it probably could have gone, but you didn't know. And that's one of the things, you know, and even what I, you know, we've talked about this. When you talk and people have these wonderful relationships, 9 times out of 10, when you talk to them, you might not know it, but it might be their second or third marriage. You don't know that. You know, we just assume when they say, oh, we have a, oh, our relationship is great, it's wonderful, we got this, this, and this. But when you get down to the details, it, many times it's not their first, you know, first marriage. So, you know, I'm not talking about that, but I'm just, you know, we try to put it out there because, you know, we have experienced, most of us who are talking, we've experienced, we've been there, but I just try to always leave something for the young people to say to them, yeah, I took this path, or, you know, he took this path, she took this path, but you have an opportunity, you see where it ends up. Now, if you want a different path, we've already been there. We can tell you what's going to happen, but if you want something different, you know, take this path, you know, talk to that person, you know, stay focused on each other. And then no matter what, you know, you grow together and realize that your life will go through different phases. Russell often gives the example of what are you going to do, you know, maybe be in a relationship and it might be wonderful. And then your spouse becomes incompetent. Or, you know, you have, it's like, what do you do then? You know, you love this person. Listen, we don't really think about that. You know, we're in our 20s, we get married, we don't think about that. They might be dependent on you one day, but do you love them enough that if they're wetting the bed, you are you going to get mad, or is going to be enough love there to say, hey, you put it in perspective, this is a person I married, you know, they can't help themselves, I love them enough to take care of them. So it's a lot, but we really don't, you know, we really don't think that far in advance. And that's why
we don't,
and that's what I'm saying. So I think we should keep it real, but at the same time, I think we should want to give our children and the younger people say, hey, we've gone there, you know, try doing it this way. Maybe you can avoid some of the things that, you know, that I've gone through. But, you know, nothing, you know, no one's perfect, but I think we should always strive, you know, strive for the best.
Well, like
and
I
then,
told my
you know,
son,
and then think
I, like
about
it, like,
it too, you know, even in marriage, you know, when we were talking about you growing and, you know, your spouse not, sometimes you just have to, compliment each other. And again, it's not always a bad thing. Think about it, you know, I'm sure you know of relationships where the man or the woman was always there, and sometimes they wish they had a break. I know you've heard that aspect of it too. It's like, oh gosh, give me a break. You know, let me go to Europe for a couple of weeks by myself. You know, so it's just you just have to have that balance. But then you have to understand that, and then you have to be working towards something, because you know there's nothing that can be exchanged for true love, but then you have to have that understanding. You have to be on the same page, or as we say, equally yoked. You have to be yearning, you know, to go in the same direction in order to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, the yearning to go in the same
point.
Direction.
That's the point.
And that's how they end up growing apart, like these, the friends that I know now, that, you know, they're still married, and they're still, you know, under one household, and they have the appearance of everything's rosy. But they all live and do what they want to do, okay? Mm-hmm. And she goes where she want to go. He goes where he want to go. Nobody, no questions asked, nobody man, no attitudes or nothing. And that's the way they do. They just don't, you know. For example, like my bus trip.
Because the relationship is dead. But here's the key to that scenario. Here's the key to that scenario. They have not physically left each other as far as the house is concerned. So, in essence, he may not have, she may not have, or he may not have what they call an ideal marriage or a love marriage, or they may not be loving with each other like they used to be, and they may not be together as far as they're concerned. He's seeing somebody else, she's seeing somebody. But what they both do have, because she has not left the house, they have what they call oatmeal love and bedpan love. When you can have that oatmeal love and bedpan love, because if the person is still there, if that guy got sick, he would be there. She would be there because she knows two things. The house is still in name. The insurance policy is still there. So she would give him oatmeal love and bedpan love. If he needed a bedpan underneath him, she could put the bedpan in. She would call a nurse in. She would watch him die. She would watch him die in the other room. He won't be in the master bedroom, but he'll be in the other room that he was in all along. And she will come in that room and make sure that he got the oatmeal, put a bib on him. If he have a stroke, she's still going to leave him there now. She's going to leave him behind there because she's been leaving him there and long, all along. She will still go see the man that gives her the white-eyed roll back. And she will go back to him and say, you know what, my husband's dying. He ain't got long.
Well, that's about the size of it.
Yeah, I can't leave him. I just can't leave him. You know, I'm going to be there for him until he dies. So that's what he do have. He has what they call... I call oatmeal love and bedpan love. That's a hard thing. Most guys don't even have that, you know. So it's a trade-off, you know. Like some husbands, they get old, and their wife, they got a young wife, and the wife makes a conscious decision, I'm not going to leave my husband, but I got to leave. I can't be him, you know, because he can't stay in the bed with me. He's going to, like you say, pee in the bed, thinking, he can't be in the bed with me. But I'm going to go in that room in the morning, make sure he's got some food, make sure he's okay. I'm going to leave out there at night, and I'm never going to stay out all night. I'm going to stay out to late night and come back home and, you know, keep the thing real. So that's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's my closing statements. But this has been a serious show today, talking about what you got instead of what you got instead of what you don't have. You got to know what you got instead of call it what it's not. This is Today's Relationships. We're here every Saturday morning. We talk about things that are hard to swallow. It's information that's hard to swallow but good to know. This is a serious song, man. It's called Some Bridges Need Burning. I'll see you next Saturday.
Okay, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Some bridges need burning. Damn. You got to burn that bridge. You have to.
When they keep taking me back to your side of town, where I'm too weak to fight, how the feels so right. Whenever you're holding me tight, some bridges need burning.
Is that a serious song or what, man? Some bridges need burning. You like that song?
Tina Turner, I love it.
Need burning.
Some bridge need burning down.
I'm telling you.